Holy Spirit, my dependable guide. What vision does is to define your destination. And what direction does is to define the steps, the right steps towards arriving at your destination. It's one thing to have a vision. It's another thing to have direction. Vision tells you what it is to be done, and direction shows you how to go about it. And one of the vital ministries of the Holy Spirit is to provide our most needed guide in the journey of life. I had one of the most pathetic stories of my life many years ago. A great man of God said to me with his mouth, can you bring down the volume, please, behave. Said to me with his mouth, I took a wrong step in 1981. And since then, my life and ministry went down. I took a wrong step in 1981, and since then, my life and ministry went down. I noted that in this book, Understanding Divine Direction, in the introduction page. I took a wrong step in 1981, and since then, my life and ministry went down. Not that somebody said it, he said it by himself. I met him in his down state. He was so down that you don't need any explanation on what it means to be down when you see him. I took a wrong step. And that's why I came with that statement. One wrong step can wreck a whole destiny. One wrong step can wreck a whole destiny. This man's ministry was so awesome that he got to a point where he was using helicopters to distribute flyers. Hello? You know what it means to hire an helicopter to distribute flyers of a crusade? So it was pouring out on people. This man has such a ministry that cripples get off the ground in their numbers in his outreaches. I remember as a growing up boy, I had not given my life to Christ. I was in a crusade where he was ministering. And I was a popular crippled man in town. So the small boy said, I will open my eyes and see how this one will wake up, will rise up. And when this man began to minister, all cripple, rise up now. And this cripple man that everybody knew shook himself and was going up and going up and going up until he stood up. He was a man in that class when he took a wrong step. Nobody can outgrow a right direction. You can't outgrow the need for a right direction. When you are off the road, you are off, no matter the explanation you are trying to make. When you are off, you are off. No matter the explanations you may be trying to make. I took a wrong step in 1981, and since then, my life and ministry went down. This man was talking to me in 1998. This book was in preparation then. So I quickly noted it. 1981, 1998, he was still down. He was not only down the time he was talking to me, he was blind. One wrong step can wreck a whole destiny. He was not only blind then, he's still blind now. 2007. One wrong step, tearing a whole enviable destiny apart. That's why the teaching this morning is for you. Because there are many days of your life, you never take a wrong step that will wreck your life. One wrong step can wreck a whole destiny. I met a pastor sometimes back, I think last month, May, sorry. And this man came to me in the plane and said, well, I took a wrong step. And the ministry just went in disarray. I'm back now rebuilding from the crash. One step, opportunity came and he left the country and felt the ministry here would still be going. And by the time he came back, he knew he was wrong. Most frustrations today, they are traceable to misdirections. Most frustrations today are traceable to misdirections. When God becomes your shepherd, everything begins to work in your favor. Because His presence that is leading the way supernaturally makes a difference in your life. Not all open doors are God's doors. Many are traps in disguise. I took a wrong step in 1981, and since then my life and ministry went down. Still alive, as if not alive. I took a wrong step. You don't carry your baggage and jump into any kind of business. Lord, am I on course with your eternal plan in this area of business? Spirit of God, is this what heaven is saying for now for me to do? And after securing your clearance, then you can be sure of His backing. This is very important.
talking about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, the Bible says, and when he's come, he will guide you howbeit it when he the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. One of his vital ministries is the ministry of divine guidance. He will guide you into all truth. How will he do it? For he shall not speak of himself. That means he speaks to do it. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So he guides us by speaking to us which way to go. John 16 verse 13. He guides us by speaking to us. You can imagine the security of a cow from Kano coming to Lagos without a guide. Say with me, it's dead. That's a journey of no return. It will not arrive anywhere. The journey of life is so long. Without a guide, you are lost. So God has given the Holy Spirit the job of providing our needed guidance on this long, long road. Also, we live in a wilderness world that's full of lions and adders and scorpions and wolves. It's a wild, wild world. And don't ever go into a wildlife park without a guide. Without a guide, you become lunch for the lions. So you need a guide. As a man wanders from, as a bird wanders from her nest, so is a man that wanders from his place. Proverbs 27 and verse 8. So you need a guide. This respected man of God must have walked out of his place, and then the lions caught him and said, what do we do with this man? He said, blind his eyes. And they blinded his eyes. But this is a very proud generation. Proud generation. Blinded by knowledge in court. And think, oh, no. We have our own mind. We can think the way to go. You'll be running a dangerous risk. Because when you fall into the mouth of a lion, there may not be anybody there to rescue you. It's a long journey. You need a guide. I need a guide. It's a wide life world. So you need a guide and I need a guide. Paul said, God has delivered me from the mouth of the lion. So there are lions here that wants to eat up your business, eat up your children, eat up what you have. And that's why you need a guide. Why do I need a guide? You have no access into the future. So it is wisdom to trust your destiny to the hands of the one that holds the future. God is the one that knows the end from the beginning. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10. So when you trust your life into his hand, he instructs you with the future in view. You may have an idea of the future, only God has the precisions about the future. That's why young people pray before they get into marriage. Because it is the boy and the girl you know now, you don't know what a man or a woman he becomes tomorrow. So you pray. And there is no way to project by any software into the future. And say, how would this lady look like in 20 years' time? Computer will say, I don't have an idea. Amen. The reason why marriage has a major problem in the developed world is that nobody cares about what it is. If it doesn't work, let's go away. And only one out of every five marriages survive the first 1 year, according to the latest data, because it has no foundation. Everybody just moving like blind people. This is very important. When it's come, he will guide you, and he guides you by speaking to you. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear from me, that shall he speak, as he shows you things to come, step by step. God said in Psalm 32 and verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shouldest go. I will guide thee with my eyes. Psalm 32 and verse 8. That means God is committed to providing us the needed guide in the journey of life. And then we look at with my eyes. The Bible talks about the seven, and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. So the eyes that God is talking about is the spirit of God. I will guide thee with my spirit. My spirit will provide the guidance you need in the journey of life. This is very important, and this is very crucial. God's word says, unto us a child is born, Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end. So, what does that mean? Only sons have capacity to take charge. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall rest upon the shoulders of the son, not the child. And of the increase of that government and of peace, there shall be no end. So, and my Bible said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. Romans 8:14. That means it is your understanding of the leading of the Spirit. That guarantees the manifestations of your sonship. That empowers you for dominion. That entrusts you with authority. In Galatians chapter 4 verse 1 and 2, he said, and here, H-E-I-R, when it's a child, differeth nothing from a servant. So as long as you remain just a child of God, you are not different from the struggling sinner. And what differentiates a child from a son is the leadership of the Holy Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That is the leading of the Spirit, is the seal of your sonship. The leading of the Spirit is the seal of your sonship. That until you are being led by the Spirit, you remain a child. And as long as you remain a child, you are not different from a servant. Because you become vulnerable to all kinds of satanic maneuverings. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The seven eyes of the Lord having seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. So the Spirit of God is all over the earth today, looking for who is interested in his guidance ministry, who are ready to be led by him. And as long as you subscribe to that, life begins to answer to you most favorably. Can I hear your loudest amen?
Amen.
Can I hear your loudest amen?
Amen.
Can I hear your loudest amen?
Amen.
Listen to this very well. Israel came out of Egypt, and God began to lead them by a pillar of cloud by the day and a pillar of fire in the night. And by leading them, there was no lack all through their 40 years journey. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because God was leading them, there was no lack in their records. A pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Read with me from Exodus chapter 13. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by the day and the night. So the fire of the Holy Spirit does not only consume chaffs in our life, it also provides the guidance we need in walking the right way to our destination. Fire. Let me quickly digress here a bit and you will understand it. When they left here, all through their journey, the Bible said there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Why? Jehovah Rapha was with them, leading the way. The Bible said their legs were not swollen, yet they were not riding in vehicles. They were giving birth in the wilderness and raising children. Why? Jehovah Rapha was resident in their midst, leading the way. Their clothes did not wear out. There was not one feeble person among their tribes. You know that story, because he was leading them. My Bible said, he prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and my cup runneth over. Why? Because he's leading them and they were following him. He's leading them and they were following him. Nehemiah chapter 9. Thank you, Jesus. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 12. Moreover, thou ledest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Verse 19, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way we are in they should go. That is his ministry. On the day of Pentecost, listen to this. Suddenly there came the sound of a mighty rushing wind and filled the house. That's a cloud, isn't it? The wind wasn't passing through. It was filling the house. That's a cloud. and then cloven tongues as of fire sat upon each of them. That's the fire. So in the upper room, Acts chapter 2 verse 1 to 4, there was the cloud and there was the fire, signifying the fact that this is the Holy Spirit that guided them all through their wilderness journey. He has come to revisit the earth. He has come to revisit the earth. He has come to revisit the earth. And we saw him manifesting in diverse manners as he did. When Peter was doubting whether to attend to the people that came from the Gentiles, the Spirit said, go with them, doubting nothing. He was guiding the way. This is the way into the Gentiles. Move now. This is my agenda. Move now. In Acts chapter 16, verse 6 to 9, they wanted to go to Asia. The Holy Ghost forbid them. That's not the way to go. You go that way, you'll be destroyed. They wanted to go to Bithynia. He said, no, he forbid them. And then suddenly a vision came, and a man from Macedonia said, come over to Macedonia and help us. And the Spirit said, that's where to go. Can I hear your amen? Amen. You will not miss your steps. Amen. You shall not miss your steps. Amen. So following the pillar by day, the pillar of cloud by day, and the pillar of fire by night guarantees your security and your dignity in the journey of life. Nothing could stop them, because they were guided by him, they were led by him. No matter how anointed anyone will be, when you ignore his guidance, you are bound to goof. When you ignore the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you are bound to goof. You are bound to fail. You are bound to be frustrated, no matter how anointed you are. If God be not for you, any small familiar spirit can overturn your destiny. If God is away from where you are, anything there won't work. 1987, we had a mission to one of those cities in Ghana. And we labored in that place. I went there for about 3-4 different major outreaches. And I said, Lord, but what's happening? And you know what he said to me? I am not there. I am not there. May you not labor where God is not. Yeah. Nothing worked there. Not even to get property to buy. Nothing worked there. I said, God, what is this? He said, I am not there. And I said, shut it down. I can't afford the luxury of being where God is not. Shut it down. No anointing is a substitute for divine guidance. No anointing is a substitute for divine guidance. He said to me, I am not there. I am not there. In Deuteronomy 32, we read this beautiful word from the Lord talking about the dignity of divine guidance. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Somebody is breaking forth this time. I began asking the Lord, after 7 years we have labored in that place and there was nothing to show for it. And if you stay there for the next 50 years, that doesn't make it right. You'll still be there. 32 and verse 9. This is the word of the Lord. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert. In the desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness, he led him about. underline that word. He instructed him and kept him as the apple of his eye. You will always be kept where you are led. We invaded this citadel of witchcraft unscratched because we always be kept where you are led. You will always be defended where you are led. You will always be defended where you are led. I'd like you to listen very well. He instructed him. He led him by instructing him. He instructed him and he kept him as the apple of his eye. He said, as an eagle steereth up her nest and fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings and taketh them and beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him. So he was the one bearing them. They were riding on his back. And everybody sees them, oh man, these are great flyers. No, it is the mother eagle that's carrying them on. So when you are led by him, he gives you the opportunity to ride on his back as he flies you into the skies. The Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He was not guided by any other thing except the Lord. And what happens? He made him to ride on the high places of the earth. So the leading of the Spirit is what makes leaders out of men. The leading of the Spirit is what makes leaders out of men. He made him to ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the field. God always leads to increases. He made them to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. He gets results in most impossible circumstances because the Lord alone did lead them. There was no strange God with them. So he took over and began to work strange works through him. He made them to ride in the high places of the earth. He made them to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rocks. He led them to increases. He led them about. He instructed them and kept them as the apple of his eye. These are all powerful descriptions of the dignity of divine guidance. When you are led by God, you are on your way to taking the lead in the race of life. When you are led by God, you are on the way to taking the lead in the race of life. This is very important. Isaiah chapter 48. The dignity of divine guidance. What I'm doing this morning is marketing to you divine guidance. How that you need it. It's not an elective. It's a compulsory, it's a major program, it's a major course that everybody must pass to make the most of his life. It's not an option. It's compulsory for every destiny that will be truly fulfilled. Isaiah 48 and verse 17. Isaiah 48 and verse 17. I start from 17. Thus saith the Lord thy God, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. Now you see what God is saying? I am committed to leading you if you are committed to following me. I had them speak those words to me October 1, 1983. I was in a private time of worship with God, and he said to me from this verse, my son, I'm committed to leading you if only you are committed to following me. And if you let me lead you, your peace will be like a river. Your righteousness will be as the waves of the sea. Unstoppable. Everybody say unstoppable. Now you see, God let Abraham go to the land that I show you. Abraham got there, he saw famine, and Abraham deflected and went down to Egypt. And as soon as he got to Egypt, he started lying. You see, what is interesting about the Bible is that it doesn't hide any pitfall of the patriarchs. You read it clearly. He said, please, Sarah, don't tell them you are my wife, they will kill me. Immediately fear came because he has left where God sent him. Immediately he lost his righteousness, he started lying. He lost his peace, because when you lose your peace, it's fear that comes. As soon as he left where God led him, he lost his peace, he lost his righteousness. Thank God he recovered himself on time. The Bible said about him, and Abraham went down to Egypt. Genesis 12:10. Every time you are out of where God has put you, you are going down. There is no method. Abraham went down. And then when he came out of it, he said, Abraham went up out of Egypt. My prayer is that by this teaching, many of you will get up out of where you have sent yourself. And when it was Isaac's turn, in chapter 26 of Genesis verse 1, God said to him, thou shalt not go down to Egypt. Remember Abraham. Don't go down. If you get out of here, you are going down. He said, stay in this land. This I want to do it for you. And Abraham, my Isaac, stood there and he became the envy of the land. There are many people who are ordained to be envy of their generation. They have become the pity of their community because they have left off where they belong. They have left off where they belong. Abraham went down. Isaac was about going down. God said, hey, stop! Thou shalt not go down to Egypt. If you look at every great story in scriptures, you will find God speaking to individuals. That's why I pray today that every form of spiritual deafness be destroyed in your own life. So you can hear God very clearly and then be able to enjoy the dignity of redemption, which is your portion. That's your portion. He said, if they had hearkened to me, have allowed me to lead them, their peace would have been like a river, and their righteousness as the waves of the sea. Their seed also had been as the sand. I would have multiplied them, and their offspring, the offspring of thy bowels, like the gravels thereof. His name should not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. You see, these names were all preserved because they were led by God. There is no substitute to the leading of the Spirit in our quest to fulfill destiny to the fullest. God has sent you as the light of the world, as the salt of the earth, for he will guide you by his Spirit to maximize his calling on your life. Not all doctors will own hospitals. You think all doctors will own hospitals? Not all professional teachers will run schools. Otherwise, you may be the first person to be admitted in your hospital. Because the whole world may be crashing on your head because you are not led into it. So you are left on your own to make it work. Not all citizens will ever become governors. Why are you going to kill yourself for nothing? Not all pilots will ever run an aviation industry or company. No. Don't run another man's race. Run your own. There's a race set before you. Don't go somewhere else. You don't prepare for long jump and go to Olympic to start trying out high jump. You'll be a dummy there. Because you have not been equipped for high jump. You are equipped for long jump. You are prepared for 100 meters. Don't go and join them with 800 meters. You will fail. You will run like a dummy. The 100 meters race, the 100 meter speed, and by the time you are going to the 200 meters, you are already... Because you are running another man's race. You are running another man's race. Ever since I submitted myself to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I have enjoyed peace that passes all human understanding. I have never suffered a sleepless night in this ministry since it was founded. And God is my witness. What are we doing here this morning? God guides us through the Holy Spirit by speaking to us through the Spirit. So if you cannot hear the voice of the Spirit and you are conjuring scriptures for guidance, you will be misguided with time. There is no Lagos in the Bible. So I would like him to go to Lagos. He has to speak to me. Arise, get down to Lagos, raise me a people. That's not in Genesis, it's not in Malachi, it's not in Matthew. It has to come from the Spirit of God, taking it from God as by his next agenda for the assignment. The harvest of Africa is now overripe. That's not in Jeremiah. That's not in Isaiah. That is by the Spirit of God. Now please listen to me. You don't need to destroy your destiny by walking with eyes closed. Until you can hear the voice of the Spirit, you cannot be thoroughly guided. Why the scriptures is a lamp to your feet to know when you are walking off the principles of life. The Holy Spirit is a light unto your path. This is where you are going. These are the steps to take. Somebody said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Yes. The word has spoken to you. They are spirit and they are life. My spirit has gathered them. So the Holy Spirit speaks to you to know the steps to take. The greatness you see today at Canaan land is a product of the guidance of the Spirit. He said that day, this is the place. Contrary to all intellectual, you know, analysis, this is the place. Contrary to all church growth kind of principles, this is the place. And when the Holy Spirit gives a verdict, he backs it up. Is it not the place today? Look around yourself. Is this not the place today? There is no such scripture that says this is the place. It has to come by the Spirit of God speaking to you. Many people are in church. They have never heard one thing once. They are only pretending to hear. And so they get into one trouble from another. Their peace will have been like a river and their righteousness as the waves of the sea. I have never preached at your pocket in my life and I vow not to do it till I die. I don't need it. The sender has committed himself to be the supplier, and the supply has never ended. It's flowing embarrassingly. Now see, he said, when I sent you without purse or scripts or shoes, lacked ye anything? So everywhere he sends you, he commits himself to supply for you. Luke 22 and verse 35. This is so important. I therefore pray today that every spiritual eye, ears, pop open to hear the voice of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Right now, God is not speaking to anybody. He has handed that over to the Holy Spirit. And that's why he said severally in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. So the Spirit of God has taken over the instructions to God's people in the end time church. Let me read a few of those verses. Oh, Spirit of God, thank you this morning. Amen. Verse 7, chapter 2, verse 7. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 11, Revelation 2. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Verse 17. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit. You see the word Spirit, capital letter S, talking about the Holy Spirit. What the Spirit is saying unto the churches. So if you can't hear what the Spirit is saying, you can never claim to be led by the Spirit. Let him not have an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Hallelujah. And then you find it all written everywhere. Verse 29. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. It's repeated over and over again. Chapter 3, verse 6. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Verse 13 of chapter 3. He that has an ear, let him hear. Today I command every spiritual ear to be opened supernaturally in the name of Jesus. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Chapter 3, verse 22. So you find it written to all the seven churches. That is God's agenda for the saints. If you can't hear what the Spirit is saying, you are bound to goof in your pursuit. You are bound to goof in your pursuit. My prayer today, therefore, is that you'll be able to hear the voice of the Spirit. Can I hear your loudest amen? You'll be able to hear the voice of the Spirit. Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. John 5:30. But as I hear, so I judge, and my judgment is true. As I hear. So he was a hearing master. And he had become a generational leader. Generations after generations celebrating his lordship, two thirds of the entire world today adore him. Listen to me. As I hear. And Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So you are also sent to hear. Therefore, whatever is blocking your hearing, I curse it today in the name of Jesus. Whatever is blocking your hearing, I curse it today in the name of Jesus. Whatever is blocking your hearing, I curse it today in the name of Jesus. I'll read the following before we close. Just look at a part of Paul's life, which I believe must have been one major regret he had in his earthly journey. Acts chapter 19 and verse 21. Acts 19 Thank you, Jesus. After these things were done or ended, Paul purposed in his spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. That was where Paul's catastrophe began. I must go to Jerusalem. He purposed in his spirit, small letter S, his own spirit, not the Holy Spirit. I must go. I must. Paul said, look, this time there is no point checking anything. I must get down to Jerusalem. Chapter 21 and verse 4. Let's start from verse 3. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre. For there a ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. Who said to Paul through the Spirit, left capital letter S, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. They said to Paul that he should not go to Jerusalem. Now look at it, verse 8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come into us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, who is speaking there? So shall the Jews in Jerusalem bind the man that owned this girdle and shall deliver him into the bands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these words, we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul said, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I'm ready not only to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. I don't know what entered into Paul at this time. He just said to the Holy Ghost, stay on your own. I'm going to do this one. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm anointed enough to deal with this issue. And Paul went. May you not go. Amen. So where the Holy Spirit is saying no, may you not find yourself there. Amen. Now, and after those days, we took off our carriages and went up. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us. Verse 17. I'm reading, I'm jumping. Verse 17. The brethren received us gladly. And I'm sure that time Paul would have said, can you see now? They say I shouldn't come. See the kind of welcome they gave me. Everybody was shouting around. Winner, Jesus, you don't win. Oh. They were dancing from the ship border. I mean, Abo. They were dancing, and Paul was moving under the anointing, was speaking in tongues. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's how it happened. And then suddenly, the first thing that occurred to Paul was that he compromised his message. He had to be cleansed after the order of Judaism. So they took him to the temple and kept him there for 7 days. And when those Jews from Asia learned that Paul was in the temple, they rushed at that fanatic. They rushed there and plucked him out of the temple and banged the door and started beating him like a robber. You won't lose your dignity. They started beating him like a robber. Now look at what they said here. Verse 33. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band, that's the chief of army staff, that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down into them. And when they saw the chief captains, and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. He didn't need to be beaten. He just went off. Now, to cut the long story short, Paul lived his remaining days under house arrest. Because perhaps he thought the anointing was a substitute for the leading of the Spirit. He had his agenda, and he was so married to his agenda that nothing could touch it. As we conclude this morning, I'll show you in a brief, what does it take to be led by the Spirit? What does it take to be what? Led by the Spirit. What does it take to be led by the Spirit of God? What does it take to hear the voice of God? What does it take to be led by the Spirit of God? What does it take to be led by the Spirit of God? One You must be baptized in the Holy Ghost, because he's the one that is to provide the guidance. I know my sheep and they know my voice. It has to be resident in you for you to be able to pick what he's saying to you. Two, you need meekness. The meek will he guide in judgment. Psalm 25 and verse 9. You need meekness. Remember, Moses is said to be the meekest of all men on the face of the earth. How many understand that? In Numbers chapter 12 and verse 1 to 3. And now the man Moses was the meekest of all men that were on the face of the earth. Now, if you look at scriptures, you see that God's voice comes so clearly and distinctively to Paul at all times. At all times. And I'll read a few things here, just one phrase only, and you see it. Verse 6, chapter 6, verse 1 of Exodus. Then the Lord said unto Moses. Chapter 7, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses. Chapter 8, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses. Chapter 9, verse 1, then the Lord said unto Moses. And verse 10, chapter 10, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses. Now, what is it that qualified this man Moses for hearing the voice of God so distinctly? He would describe where Pharaoh is coming. Get down now to that junction. He will soon be coming past that place and tell him, let my people go. He was giving him specific instruction on all issues. And my Bible said he was the meekest of all men that were on the face of the earth. The reason why the people of this generation miss the leading of the Spirit is that they are too arrogant. They already know what to do. They don't even need to consult with God. They are purposing themselves like Paul. Where to go, what to invest in, what to do. So the voice of God became irrelevant. But Moses was the meekest of all men that were on the face of the earth, and he was speaking God's voice as direct as a man speaks with his friend. In fact, God said, I speak to him as a man speaks with his friend. So the voice of God was coming to him so strong because he was a meek man. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. In Kaduna years ago, we had a property we were developing. It was a 23,000 capacity property. So we are trying to finish the decking, and so we can use the basement, which will seat 8,000 people. And now we had a challenge to leave the property that we are on, because the owner of the land refused to sell it, and the lease was over. And the Lord came saying to me, my son, should this church move to that place, that will be the end of this ministry. Now, we've labored there for months, I think about 2 years, and God said, if you move there, the ministry is ended. You won't move to where we end your destiny. I heard that word in 1989, I have never crossed that place by any mistake. I don't want the ministry to end. Very specific instruction after all the investment. You know what I did? I asked them to remove the wire fence that we did there. They cut the fence off and packed it to our church in Minna and used it as the fence for the church. I have never stepped there. My son said to me, he said, oh, we have gotten about 80 acres of land. I said, God bless you. As for this time that I'm alive, I will not move near the place. The next generation, God may now tell them, go and use up the land that your fathers bought and labored and almost killed themselves. But I won't go there. So this ministry will have ended there. You wouldn't have been here today. God is not a specter of person. What if I didn't hear? That's all? It doesn't make a difference? You see crash? You will hear from today. You will hear from today. You know what the Lord said to me? 5th of March, 1985. He said, no matter how much you have invested doing what is wrong, he said, do what I say. No matter how much you have invested doing the wrong, do what I say. So we ignored it and walked away. And bless God, see where you are today. Bless God, see where the church in Kaduna is today. Kaduna Church has stood at an average of 28,000 every Sunday worship in a beautiful place called Garden of Faith. That was a wilderness of wreckage. God said, if you go there, you are finished. You say, why? Is God afraid? No. It's not as far, near as far as Canaan land. But there's an agenda on your life, and His guidance is what helps you to keep pace with His plan and purpose as regards to destiny. You will not miss your place. Can I hear your loudest amen? What does it take to be guided? It takes meekness. It takes what? Meekness. It takes meekness. Number three, what does it take to be guided? It takes spirituality. Number three, spirituality. 1 Corinthians 2:14. A natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, and neither can he know them, because they can only be spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Only spiritual men can grasp spiritual directives. A carnal man can't catch it. It takes spirituality to be thoroughly guided by the Spirit of God. It takes spirituality to be thoroughly guided by the Spirit of God. It takes spirituality to be thoroughly guided by the Spirit of God. Very interesting thing. The Spirit of God is still speaking today. Can I hear your loudest amen? Amen. The Spirit of God is still speaking today. Look at a man called John the Baptist. John the Baptist was sent to the wilderness to spark off a revival. And he started prognosing on what was going on in town. There was no prophecy about beheading John the Baptist at all. He beheaded himself. Nothing concerned him about Herod and his wife and children, nothing. That's not his ministry. But when he went off his place, he lost his head. Let's maintain our spirituality so we can pick what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. As I conclude, listen to this. What does it take to be guided? If you know this local lamp we called, there used to be a pot where you put a wick and then you put oil. I think they still use it in a lot of places. Now, as the oil burns low, the light starts dying out. And so you put more oil. Okay, let's look at your lantern, which is more modern. When the oil begins to go down, the light begins to burn low and lower and lower until And then you have red wick. And it begins to go, turn black gradually, gradually until it is totally gone. It takes light to know the way to go. And that light demands that you remain filled with the Holy Spirit. Come and say filled. You remain filled with the Holy Spirit. And your light can be bright enough not to take a wrong step. They were baptized in the Holy Ghost in chapter 2 and in chapter 4. They prayed, the place shook where they were gathered, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. It's dangerous to watch your amber light showing that your car is on reserve and you're on the highway going to Kaduna. Wisdom demands that you call up at any filling station and refill your car to maintain your colorful motion. Everybody here needs to constantly be filled with the Holy Spirit so as to be in a state to be thoroughly guided by the Spirit of God. I must tell you, God's people, I heard the voice of the Spirit for the first time in 1976. This is 2007. I must tell you, it is real. Everything that has happened today has happened by the thorough guidance of the Holy Spirit, by passing down instructions, audible instructions, audible instructions. Your child does not need prayer to understand your voice. It's a natural heritage. So the voice of the Spirit is your natural heritage as one that is born of the Spirit. So all you need to do this morning is to pray. I've been hearing people talk about you said. Say to me too. Let me know where I'm going at all times. Let me know the right steps to take at all times. Listen to me. We came into Canaan and I became concerned about people not partaking of the communion, which is our own health insurance policy. How many understand that? You remember the testimony of last Sunday? Somebody's leg that was crushed. And we are going to amputate that leg. And he started taking what? Communion. 3 hourly. You remember? And the leg was formed. And he walked on his feet to this platform. I became concerned. So I said, okay, let's have harvest baskets in town. And it came so strong that I thought it was God. And so we hired properties. About 6 of them. We paid heavy money. But I was waiting for a marching order. We have trained the people. We have written documents. I was waiting for a marching order. And then suddenly, the Lord came to me. He said, you are bothered about communion. Who told you that communion should only be served on Wednesdays? Hello? Very simple thing. Then the Spirit of God came to me. You are bothered about transportation of people. Did I tell you I cannot buy vehicles? And by 3 statements, he dissolved everything. I said, you move that way, you scatter the thing. That's how you are still here today. You won't take a wrong step. You say, what did you do with the money? Away with the money. The money is not as valuable as the ministry. Away with the money. Away with the money. They ask him, they say, okay, we are paid 100 talents of silver for the mercenaries. And he said, am I not more than that? What you are looking for is victory. I said, if you bring them here to shoot an arrow, you will lose the battle. And so they left off the 100 talents of silver and they went with God, and God brought them the victory. You won't miss your steps. Maybe I'm talking to someone here who is already packing his load on a wrong journey. Somebody just about taking a wrong step. After today's impartation, the Spirit of God will redirect your steps. If you fail, only you will bear it. If you succeed, it's you that will enjoy it first. So there is nobody canvassing for you to be right. You should canvass for yourself to be right. I've never got to a point where God could not correct me in my life. Never. Paul purposed in the Spirit and perhaps thought it was God. and thought that those other younger fellows don't know God as much as he does. So he missed it and messed up his destiny. You won't miss your own.
Yeah.
I said you will not miss your own.
Yeah.
My wife and I were ready to go out of the country to get prepared for ministry, because I knew I was inadequate to confront a lifetime ministry without adequate training in my own view as far as formal training was concerned. And everything was set. I went to God, just thanking him one night on the mountaintop by myself alone, and the Lord said to me, "My son David, the thing you seek comes not from abroad but from above. You are going to know America. This ministry will have been buried today in an unknown land on a wrong field." Bless God, he was able to correct at that 11th hour. Our ministry was formally commissioned and hand was laid on me, and on our way to Jos by what I thought was God. And in the night of that same day, I went thanking God for how colorful the service was and what impartations I had received. And the Lord said, "My son, it was not me you heard about going to Jos. You heard yourself." He said, "Remember when you were playing table tennis in Genta area of Jos in 1974, you desired in your heart that if you had a choice as to where to live in future, that Jos would be that choice. Say that of what you had, not me." I said, "Lord, so what?" He said, "Stay here. Don't go nowhere until a word is brought to you from me." So I was to stay in the midst of the same people that prayed for me to be on my way. Until your meekness is tested and passed, your greatness is not in view. Every child remains a child as long as his father is alive. And no one will ever claim to know more than his father, particularly when you have an all-knowing father, the omniscient God. That means you stand to be corrected any day of your life till you die. If a man was in ministry in the early 60s and blazing the trail across the nations of the earth, and in 1981 he messed up, and by messing up he missed out. Be careful. Be careful about where you are investing your energy, where you are investing your resources. Be careful. Ask the Lord, "Is this you or my mind? Am I speaking to myself or are you speaking to me?" By the time that is done, you'll be right there. And I hear your loudest amen.
Amen.
If you cannot be corrected, you cannot be directed. If you cannot be corrected, you cannot be directed. I told some of our people that I met sometimes in Europe, I said when Joseph was in Egypt, it was not a burden, it was a blessing. Now that you're a burden to your neighbors, a burden to the government, a burden to everybody, don't you know you are off course? You should know. When things were not working on that mission, I asked the Lord, "Why, Lord?" He said, "Man, boy, I am not there." "Lord, you are not there?" And you didn't tell me. He said, "You didn't ask me? You didn't ask me. You just kept laboring like a laborer, like a wood fetcher, water fetcher and wood hewer. So you can carry on if you like." Only those who ask questions are entitled to answers. You should know that. Holy Spirit, you are a dependable guy. There is no one guided by you that ever messed up. And there is no level of anointing that can make any man a guide of his life. Holy Spirit, I am subscribing to your guidance today because it's a long, long journey. Many have messed up. Time and again, I don't want to add to the list. The list is long enough. Holy Spirit, help me to toe your guidance for my life. Direct me step by step to where I belong. I don't want to take a wrong step that will wreck my destiny. I don't want to invest in a wrong business that you have not directed me. I don't want to take off on a journey you have not directed. I don't want to live in a place that you have not apportioned me. Rise to your feet, everybody. Holy Ghost, do it again. Do it again in my life. Open my eyes to see Jesus seated upon the throne. Lift up your two hands. I want all movement to cease right now. Lift up your two hands and let's honor him. And I'd like you to worship him in the spirit, everyone, wherever you are standing. Just worship him in the spirit. He's speaking today. Let it sharada praktene borua yeshande. Azo zikoria, yekoria yetambra kano tazie. Yesheda retabra dia letazia. Wokoshide prokenete zia letande. Robla reda yora praktene borua yeshanda. Wele kraktene borua yeshada. E baria, yekoria, baratoze. Eroplakta, lekoria, yeporede siene proktene borua. Yeshida klekraktene borodia. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let me first invite everyone in this service this morning who is not born again yet, because only a child can grow to become a son. Until you are born, you cannot be led. So wherever you may be in this service, I'd like to invite you. So please take your Bibles and your Bibles and come down in front and I'll pray with you. Please, congregation, you may be seated. While you sing that song, Holy Ghost, do it again. Wherever you are, you want to become a child of God this morning,